There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. Thank you for joining us. I'm Eric Friedenstreamer. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, not the Democracy Broadcasting Network, the Republic Broadcasting Network. Once again, the language is crucial. Do not let the enemy take control of the language. This is not a democracy. This is a republic. Society cannot be a victim. Individual rights are paramount and supreme over everything in this country. There's no law enforcement, only peace officers, not police officers, peace officers. Why is it so important for the enemy to get rid of the term peace officer and start pimping the word law enforcement? Everywhere, in commercials and guests on other shows and news broadcasts, law enforcement this, law enforcement that, pro-law enforcement or against law enforcement. There's no law enforcement, zero, none. That's for military units. I didn't enlist in the military. I don't want to be in the government's military and pretend I'm running around having to blink the boots and obey the orders. That's not what this republic was founded upon. God bless the military, but bring them home and start defending us against enemies domestic. What the hell are we doing in Yemen? I don't think it's appropriate to make a big deal out of someone who chose to go to a foreign land for completely unknown purposes. There's no reason for us to be in Yemen or any other country except our own. A couple of bases in Europe, maybe. But Africa, it's turning into a giant war set up with China. And this is not by accident that they're building the Chinese military base 5 miles from the U.S. military base in Djibouti, Africa. And that's not by accident. So once again, don't give the enemy the language. Back to my little point here. Why are we making a big deal out of, who's more of a patriot? Someone who chose to go to Yemen and fight an obscure corporate war for a corporation at the behest of corporations, or Tom LaGuevara, who was broadcasting the truth and a real message of liberty and really doing the work of a freedom fighter? I don't consider international wars of conquest fighting for freedom or it's any way patriotism. Sorry. We need to get our asses home and fix our own ship before it sinks. We got holes in the thing. It's going down fast. $20 trillion in debt. $20 million every couple of years coming in. A few more decades, it's bye-bye USA. And I wish it would be bye-bye USA, the corporation, and return to the United States of America, the republic that it was founded upon to be free. Some of the people who fought the revolution were into freedom. Some were not. Many of the founding fathers were complete infiltrators. We talked about Oliver Ellsworth, the Mason, the Freemason who rammed through the Judiciary Act of 1789, which created the downward spiral into the tyranny and the nightmare that we're seeing with Tom being held unlawfully. So I want to see Tom Wacovara and Clive and Bundy be honored at the next presidential supper or whatever. And I don't want to hear how Donald Trump's got it rough living in a gold-plated ivory tower on Fifth Avenue or down at Key Largo having a pina colada and complaining how tough it is to be in his shoes. How about Tom? He's drinking fluoride water and eating GMO food in a cage. That's not cool. And before I get too more excited, I'm going to bring in Tom, and Tom's going to pick up where we left off last night. This is Tom Rogers from Utah, and Tom's got a bevy of information, and I especially wanted Tom to recap the vaccine issue and let us know, you know, once again, it was so important what we heard last night. It bears repeating because we didn't get to it really kind of till the end of the show. And I want Tom to break down slowly the fact that we're obviously concerned about the mercury and the squalene and the formaldehyde and the propylene glycol and the aluminum that are adjuvants in common modern vaccines. But what's the real devil behind the door? And Tom shared that with us last night. Tom, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Awesome. I appreciate you.
I tried to be a little more
You were trying to be a little more. We were just right. You were fine on the articulateness. It was the clock that we were competing with. So I just want you to have all the time that you need to articulate and do just what you did last night, except take the time that you need. We ran up against midnight last night, and all of a sudden that was the end of the show. So I just thought we'd pick up right kind of where you left off, recap some of what, you know, any of the vaccine issue that you want to recap is great. I think we've got into the gassing of America. Or gassing America, which is we talked about that last night. But I really wanted to get deep into this vaccine thing because people need to realize that there's a lot more to it than the mercury and other stuff in there. And there's also, it's obviously not by accident that we are where we are today in the modern disease culture that we live in. With I think there was the New York Times newspaper a few years back said a world, it had a headline right on the front page, world where cancer is the norm, meaning normal. And it's not by accident. So anyway, Tom, pick up where we left off last night or wherever you want to, back up a little, so to speak, and start maybe a little before we closed out the show last night. Once again, Tell us, people got a pretty good idea that how we're sold the vaccines on the idea that it's for your health. And we all know that health does not come from a needle. Anybody who thinks it does, is mistaken or working for the enemy. I'm of the firm conviction now after doing complete research on this that I don't care what little benefit may be sold to us on, tweaking the immune system to prevent some disease. I don't care, even if it worked, the downside to what they're putting in there and what it does to your body is not worth it because it's creating dozens of major, major diseases, most of them fatal if they're not, and at the same time a cash cow for the hospital, medical, and big pharmaceutical industry business, and it's cancer alone is a multi-billion dollar a year business, hundreds of billions in cancer, and you add on all the other diseases you mentioned last night on top of that, Tom, and we're off the charts. So there is no, even if there's some benefit to a vaccine, which I don't believe there is, after researching it, the downside is way worse than any little benefit that you may think you're getting. So even if you think vaccines are, it's better to take it than not take it. I'll tell you, it's better to not take it than to take it by a long shot. God gave us all the things in his creation that we need to take care of ourselves. And if people, you don't have to eat an expensive diet, but if you stay on top of certain vitamins and minerals, let me run down the five things and then we'll get into Tom and he'll tell us more about the vaccines. You need vitamins and minerals. You need amino acids, which are your proteins. You need essential fatty acids. They don't call them essential for nothing. Those are your fish oils. It can also be found in flax and borage. And I think primrose, evening primrose, has some EFAs, essential fatty acids. Hemp seeds have it. That's one of the reasons they're banned is because they're extremely healthy. And if you're up on your essential fatty acids, which most people are not, because, who eats a diet rich in fish or rich in, you know, flaxseed. I mean, these are things that could be very well missing from most common everyday diets. So essential fatty acids, cod liver oil is great. It's cheap and it's effective. They make ones that are slightly flavored and you don't know the difference. It's like drinking olive oil or anything else. Pour it on your salad. Take a teaspoon of it. That's a really good, cheap, and effective way to get essential fatty acids. That would be three. What are the other two? Probiotics, which are the intestinal flora, which like you would find that in yogurt. And some sour creams are cultured. Anything with cultured cheese or cultured milk is good for probiotics. And enzymes, which create all, are the, like the catalyst for all the processes in your body. Apple cider vinegar is the highest concentration of enzymes of any food. There's your health tip for the night. You got 5 and 1. Okay, so with that, and knowing that we can stay pretty well healthy just by eating, you know, I mean, a jar of cod liver oil, a jar of apple cider vinegar, a loaf of bread with flax seeds in it, you know, and an occasional piece of fish, or not even the flax seeds and the borage, you can get EFAs. A handful of hemp seeds every once in a while. You can get hemp seeds right at any store. Of course, you can't grow them in the United States of America Corporation, but they can sell them on the shelf as long as they come from Canada or China or any place else in the world, except right here in our own backyard where people could be making the, every economy in this country, every geographic region, almost, except for a few extreme places, has a climate that's friendly to growing hemp. And I'm not talking about weed that you smoke when you get high. No, hemp has no THC in it. They call it Kansas no high. It's like smoking the grass that grows in your yard or a pile of lease that you rake up off the maple tree. That's so as high as it gets you. And now the government full well knows this. There's no, but why, but it's a Schedule I drug. It's looped in with cannabis that gets you high. Why? Because they knocked an enormous three things out of our economy. Hemp can be a food, which we just talked about, the highest hemp seeds are the highest, one of the highest concentrations of essential fatty acids of any food, and totally vegetarian. You don't have to get into meat or fish or any of that. It's also a fuel. It can be used to run anything, any kind of engine. Ethanol can be extracted from it. You can do all, it's all kinds of ways you can use hemp as a fuel. I won't get into that right now. People can do their own research. And it's a fiber. It can be used, and it's extremely strong. So it can be used for clothing, everything from, you know, jeans and socks to parachutes and even bulletproof vests, believe it or not. So hemp is a remarkable substance. There's no downside to it other than it interferes with DuPont, the nylon industry, the Rockefeller fuel industry, and the Monsanto let's keep everybody sick and patent all our seeds so nobody can just grow the stuff they have around. They got to go to Monsanto every year and buy the patented seeds. Don't forget, people, when you buy those seeds that are that have the numbers on them, the genetically patented seeds, they're all over the place. You contractually, you are not allowed. They will sue your ass and take your property, and the witch's court will bow right along with it because they're in the pocket of Monsanto all as well. So they'll be happy to comply and steal your property and steal your crop if you're caught growing the seeds. So it's a mode of slavery that happens. So anyway, there's the five things that you need, the vitamins and minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids, enzymes, and probiotics. And that's all out there cheap. You know, you can get, you go in that and buy a couple of, one thing of each that I just mentioned. You get the probiotics in the jar of yogurt. That's only a couple of dollars. The cod liver oil, jar of cod liver oil isn't much. The apple cider vinegar is $5, $6, $7 for the good stuff. And, you know, the probiotics we talked about getting yogurt, the vitamins and minerals you can get, you know, in a reasonably healthy diet. They just have some vegetables in it. Don't wash them so heavy. You buy organic vegetables. I wouldn't be so quick to wash off all of that dirt and make sure it was squeaky clean. Those little bits, traces of minerals are what keep you healthy. So I wanted to get that out there before, you know, so people know that you don't need anything in a needle to stay healthy and to stop being scared of all these diseases, the really bad ones like the Ebola. They're all engineered. So, and they've and of course, what was the recent H1N1 was a combination of bird, pig, and human flu all combined together. That doesn't happen in nature. That happens in a laboratory. And then all of a sudden it pops up in 18 different parts of the world all at once. That's I mean, it's obvious. Or emanates in a spot near where there's a research facility like the Lyme disease off what's the name of the island off North Carolina? Was it, I want to say Plum Island. But I sketch you on those details right now. But I want to get back to Tom. Tom, tell us about the vaccines and give us the full picture on what is really the toxin or the pathogen in the vaccines.
Well, I may hurt your feelings a little bit, but when you're talking about obtaining omega-3 oils through fish or through cod liver oil, the better source, of course, is to go directly to the production of the omega-3s. No fish, no sea animal, no seaweed ever produced a lick of omega-3s. They harvest it from the runoff coming off the land, and the only true source of the omega-3s is the plant kingdom. So if you want to avoid the contaminants that come along with the fish and the cod liver oil, you know, go back to the hemp or go back to the flax.
Let me interject, there's also other omegas, 3, 6, 9, et cetera, and my point was there are essential fatty acids in fish if people choose to eat it. But yeah, omega-3s are if you're going to stick to
omega-3s. I'm talking about all of the essential fatty acids. The fish don't produce a lick of it. What they do is they eat it, and it's harvested.
I got you. Okay, so the fish consume it from, and you're saying if mm-hmm. the fish consume it from toxic sources, then it's a suspect food chain.
Yeah, especially now with Fukushima, and of course, you know, I hear on the news that they're talking about how the coral reefs are dying because of the elevated ocean temperature, and I keep on waiting for them to say, no, it's not the temperature, it's the freaking toxins we've dumped into the oceans. You know, so right now is not a good time to look at fish as a source of any of your nutrients because of that. I was called down to New Orleans.
Well, let me ask you this. What about freshwater lake fish in areas where there's not a lot of farm action right near where there would be runoff?
That's a little better, but not good enough for me. The reason is because...
You're a purist.
Okay. If indeed they are literally chemtrailing the skies, where do those chemicals, metals especially, end up? They end up in the water and see, I used to be called up to Petaluma, California. That's the Coast Guard Marine Biology Station. They would have me go up there and help them identify the pathogens showing up in the seaweed and the fish and the sea mammals, you know, like the sea lions and otters and all the creatures that live in the sea. So I got to tell you, the fish and the seaweeds like kelp and nori, and of course, John Robbins had me come up and speak to a group of his Earth Save group, and in Palos Verde. When I got finished with my presentation, half of them were so angry they wanted to hang me because I was explaining to them how dangerous the algaes were, because the algaes are filter feeders. And all of these toxins that we dump into the air, but more importantly, what we dump into the farmland, end up in the waters, and it's accumulated or collected and concentrated in the algae. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get back to the algae. I just wanted to say, you know, people are very, this is why we all have to be humble. I mean, look, if I'm wrong or if I can be corrected, let's do it here on the air. My feelings aren't going to be hurt. I'm not going to be offended. I'll be honored that I can get the truth. You know, when a man or a woman who is mistaken hears the truth, they either cease being mistaken and accept the truth, or they cease being honest. So it sounds like you were with a bunch of people that were ceasing to be honest and didn't want to hear the truth. So based on that, it's so important that we're not high-headed or hard-headed. We can all learn something, and that's why your presence here is so valued. So back to the algae. Repeat what you said about that, Tom.
Yeah, algae is a filter feeder. By the way, it's not a plant. It is an animal. It's a member of what's called the cyanobacteria, just like the manowar, which is a very large single-celled organism. By the way, that single-celled organism produces neurotoxins. I don't know if any of you have gone out to the beach there. If you're on the beach like in Santa Monica or thereabouts, you know, up and down the Pacific coast or even on the Atlantic coast, if you pull kelp out of the water, like you can do out there, you know, Venice Beach or Manhattan Beach or Malibu, if you wrap your arm with that kelp, pretty soon your arm will go to sleep. That's because all of these organisms that are in the family of cyanobacteria, they produce neurotoxins. And those neurotoxins, of course, are produced to discourage the other fish in the ocean from eating that stuff and totally annihilating that species. But these are filter feeding creatures. They are creatures. In fact, they are animal. And when you're consuming the seaweed, I've had a lot of people get really upset with me because they were distributors of the Klamath Falls Super Blue green algae.
Right.
And I said, when you're, indeed, that's a concentrated source of micronutrients, you know, the things that are good for you. But the problem is that plant or that animal is kind of a pseudo plant in most people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That animal is simply a collector and a concentrator of the good things that come off of the land. But in the process of you using that as your source, you get the contaminants as well.
Sure.
So, as I was telling you the other day...
Do you feel any better about the Atlantic kelp, et cetera?
Well, I wouldn't touch either one, and the reason is because, first of all, you don't need that as a source. Go to the virgin source, which is, like in your discussion just before, hemp seed, flax seed, and everything that's grown on the land. And by the way, what happens whenever you use an animal as a source of nutrients, all of those animals are consuming the toxins as well as the good things. But it takes, I used to be a farmer, rancher, dairyman. And I'll tell you, it takes 800 pounds of sprayed silage to produce 1 pound of finished beef. It takes 70 pounds of sprayed material to produce 1 gallon of milk. So if you want to have, for example, the omega-3s and 6s and all that, go to the original source, which is the plant kingdom. And by the way, every vegetable, every fruit on the planet, every seed or grain that's edible by man contains all those nutrients in higher or lesser amounts. But if you just eat that, you're also going to stop the damage to your intestinal tract, and so your intestine becomes far more efficient. You know, I hate to say this.
Right.
Because it makes...
Sure.
Whenever you stop eating animal, you stop digesting your own intestinal tract. You know that? It's kind of like the vaccines. Let me just put it this way. When you eat a hot dog, let's use a hot dog as an example.
Okay.
What's required in the production of a hot dog?
I don't even want to know. I got a rough idea, but you go ahead. I'm going to plug my ears and hold my tongue. Go ahead.
It's the slaughterhouse waste or trimmings, right? What do we stuff that material into in the old days? Make it into a sausage or a hot dog?
Oh, an intestinal skin.
Yeah, there you go. So let's say I use an intestinal skin to package, you know, the tougher parts of the animal. I go ahead and pressure cook that, make it kind of edible, so to speak.
I eat that hot dog.
Thank goodness that does sterilize it. But it doesn't remove the same kind of problems that we were talking about yesterday with the autoimmune responses. But, so the body knows that when you put an animal tissue into it, it must do everything possible to break that down so it's no longer recognizable as animal tissue. But if it happens to get through the liver and that...
And the problem is it's going to do the same thing to your own intestine.
Wow, Eric, I am so proud of you. Most people are too dumb to figure that out.
I learned from the vaccines last night that it's going to recreate the same process against your body. Yeah, go ahead.
See, I'm going to tell everybody again. By the way, I really want to have that gentleman who gave the discussion on the scriptures. I was waiting for him to come back on because I was really impressed with that discussion on the fact that we've chosen a king, so to speak.
Right.
But anyway, when you consume an animal material, you're not putting it into a stainless steel retort or processing unit. You're putting it into a flesh processing unit. So if I eat the hot dog, which is the tissues of that cow or pig or chicken or whatever else we want to throw in there, and I, in the old days, encase it in an intestinal tract, and then I eat that thing and I ask my intestinal tract to deal with another intestinal tract, what do you think is happening to my intestinal tract when the hydrochloric acid on the front end and the bile, the caustic compound on the other end, is now running down my intestinal tract along with this pig intestine? Don't you think those same caustic, the acid and the same caustic base is going to do the same kind of damage to my intestine like it's doing to the hot dog?
Well, that would only be common sense. Yeah, that's what I'm starting to see. Yep, just said it's very similar to the vaccines, which we'll get into later. Yeah, incredible. Keep going.
See, so I'm asking my body to digest itself. But thankfully, my body's a living organism, and it tries to replace that tissue even as well and as at the time that I'm destroying it. And hopefully, the repair is at least ahead of the damage. But when you continually assault your intestinal tract with the digestion of animal tissues, what do you think the end consequence or result is?
Your body cannibalizes itself, long and short.
Yes, and when you cannibalize your intestine, where you're replacing it at a high rate, what is the consequent risk?
Oh, go ahead.
Cancer.
There you go. And now it's, we got articles on the, I'll never forget it, that front page of the New York Times, a world where cancer is the norm, N-O-R-M, as in normal. Go ahead, Tom.
The reason I can guarantee that, like I said the other day, as long as I keep you stupid, you will affect your own demise.
Right.
In other words, I'm going to tell you, meat, it's for dinner, right? Milk, it does the body good. All of these propaganda, it sounds like that character from the Nazi time, right?
Was it Goebbels? Joseph Goebbels, propaganda minister.
Yeah, and when you turn on the television, you see two types of ads that are deleterious to you. You see the ads for the food that's crappy, and then you hear the ads for the drugs. How about that one for dinner?
Oh, boy. Boy, oh my
God. That's another Rahm Emanuel program, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's the Hegelian dialectic. It's creating a problem and offering the solution from the same group of players. They're making money at both ends. We got a war starting up with China. How convenient, when we're only 90 days into the new administration. And meanwhile, the president's son-in-law is selling a very expensive property to a Chinese Communist Army front company. And by the way, the taxpayer is going to help pay for that $4 billion transaction in what's called an EB-5, money that's supposed to be for disadvantaged communities. I guess Fifth Avenue is now a disadvantaged community. Anyway, we'll be right back after this break with Tom. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Thanks for being with us on Resurrect the Republic. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, not the Democracy Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com.
That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
End time is not what you thought. In their new book, 122436, authors Mike and Cheryl Gilmore bring forth a startling new idea on the beginning of humankind, how life begins on Earth, and when our Creator concludes this age. In the book, 122436, three small groups of individuals, separated by thousands of miles, discover together the answers to the beginning of our universe and all the life it contains. Mike Gilmore is the author of five Levels of Power novels and the SLED Investigation series. Cheryl Gilmore is current state director in South Carolina for MUFON and brings a lifetime of experience with UFOs and related fields. As a team, their new book about life in the near future on Earth sets aside most people's religious and scientific beliefs. Available exclusively on Amazon in softback for $8.99 or the ebook price for only $2.99. Remember, Amazon softback $8.99, ebook only $2.99. 122436. Get your copy today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, close the sea of years. With no provisions, but no faces, close the straits of fear.
Welcome back, friends. Thank you for staying with us tonight. My name is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. I'm joined by Tom from Utah, bevy of knowledge and information. We really appreciate his presence here with us tonight. We're going to take a caller, so the caller won't have to wait too long, and we could get right back to our discussion where we kind of left off with the. I think that's a perfect break point there, because what we were just talking about, which is the body ends up digesting its own tissue, it's a perfect segue into what really shocked me as the largest problem with the vaccine, and we'll get back into that in a second. But was it Wes in Idaho? How are you tonight, Wes?
Pretty good, thank you. Your guest here tonight, I think I confronted him on the Power Hour. Is he going to tell us, is he a vegan or not? Would he kindly tell us one way or the other?
Yes, absolutely I am.
A couple of questions and a comment then. vitamin K2 directs calcium to the bones and teeth. So much so, if you get enough vitamin K2, Dr. Weston Price found out years ago that you can avoid tooth decay and avoid having to have braces because your teeth grow in straight. And if you do not get enough vitamin K2, then the body will try to build bone in the arteries. Can anyone spell heart attack? Now, my question to you, sir, is how much vitamin K2 is there in vegetables and fruits and legumes and all the other things you're going to tell me I'm supposed to eat? I'm looking right now. Wikipedia has all the sources of vitamin K2. I do not see one plant there at all. Now, you might find some of these things rather disgusting, but goose liver pate is one of the highest.
Oh, perfect.
Well,
perfect.
Guess what, sir? I want my best health, and I'm going to study it scientifically, and I'll go to my next comment here.
Okay, hold on. Let me make a comment on that goose liver.
Go ahead.
So what you're telling me, plants do not produce vitamin K, K12, right? Is it K2.
K2, there's a big difference.
Yeah. Vitamin K2 is not produced by a plant. What is it produced by? An animal's liver. So what kingdom do you belong to?
I belong to, I'm a man created by God. I'm going to listen to what God has to say to what I should eat. I'm just going to get around to quoting the Bible if I can do that. Or are you a Christian?
Okay, but hold on. Let me make this point. Every liver that God created produces K2. So whose K2 is the best K2 to utilize in your body?
I don't know.
It's your
Maybe
own.
We should eat our own. What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that the goose does not eat itself.
What would assist the body in facilitating the production of K2 in your own liver, so you would not have to extract it from? And is there any plant that you know of that would supply that? How would you address, Tom?
Here's what God said to Adam and Eve. I provided a garden for you and of every tree, since I'm Jewish by ancestry, tree means plant, of every tree that beareth fruit that hath seed therein, of these thou mayest freely partake. He never said to eat the goose. He never said to eat an animal. He said to eat the plant.
Oh really?
Okay, hold on. Let me finish.
Really?
When you eat the plants, under God's design, and he's not stupid, God is not stupid, I can tell you that.
Thank you.
He produced a perfect body in the human being, and your liver does exactly the same thing as the goose's liver. It produces the K2 using the raw materials coming from the garden that are pure and undefiled.
I would agree with that.
Am I going to get a chance to quote the Bible? The Bible.
Yeah, sure, right ahead. Yep. We just wanted to address the one point at a time. Go ahead.
Leviticus 2. Now, I have here 23 translations on the internet. And it's kind of interesting because they vary a little bit. The old King James is probably the closest. Here's what it says. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Now, of the 23 translations, six of them say, ye shall eat. Now, the new translations change it a little bit. 13 of them say you may eat, but the older during REM says you are to eat these beasts, and the Young's literal says you do eat. Now, look, I do I have to make excuses? I studied this a little bit, and there are at least 8 dozen nutrients that are not in plants. And Weston Price...
Yeah, you make them yourself.
Weston,
you make them yourself in your liver, just like that goose.
Oh, really? You make them yourself? My, Weston Price, 100 years...
I don't care about Weston Price. I debated him face to face.
Really?
And he has not the same understanding that he should have.
He died in 1930, I'm not sure.
I'm talking about Sally Fallon, his protege, I should say.
That's different. Yeah, I've got her latest book. It says, Nourishing Fats, Why We Need Animal Fats for Health and Happiness.
Okay, so, let me interrupt there. That's fine. No, that's totally cool. We can all have different points of view and still get along. I eat meat. I don't see me banishing Tom from the show because he's going to do a vegetarian thing. That's fine. God bless him. I try to eat mostly of a vegetable-based diet, but I do eat my chicken and I have an occasional fish and, hey, maybe once in a while a hamburger. I know it's making Tom's skin crawl, but that's, you know, we all have our, I try to eat as healthy as possible.
Doesn't make my skin crawl.
Okay. But, you know, Tom does his thing. Eric does his thing. Wes does his thing. We all have a piece of the puzzle to offer. Let's not have too much of a, I mean, I enjoy a debate, but when it comes to this, now let me throw in this and tell me if I'm wrong. And Leviticus is post-flood, right? So maybe you shall be eating meat now is God's way of keeping our age to 120 years instead of 800 or 900, because he knows how bad we went when he gave us almost 800 to 1,000 years of life. Things ended up getting really ugly, at which time the flood, and then it was, you get 100 years, folks, and then it's bye-bye. So, hey, maybe that's part of God's control. Wes, thank you for the call. Call anytime and contribute. Just do it nicely, and we appreciate your perspective. So I want to get back now to the vaccines. Tom, can you direct us back to the vaccine issue and build up the base, and then we got some more time tonight, so let's get back on that track. Tom, go ahead, pick up on the vaccine issue and any point you want to pick up, but I wish you would back up a little from last night. Don't assume that people, you know, because it took me a few times talking with you to grasp it. I'm sure other people as well. It doesn't mean they're dumb. It just means this is complex stuff. But build up the fundamental deal with the vaccines. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to tell you, you can see why I'm the least popular guest, because, you know, having worked with the microscope and all the equipment in the laboratory, the chemistry, you know, culturing these organisms and examining tissues, like I was referring to with the hot dog in your gut, it's very hard for people who've been traditionally learned, to learn what's really fact. Because they keep on leaning on Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And by the way, I should be the one leaning on Leviticus and Deuteronomy because of my ancestry. But when you get into that laboratory and you look at the damage done to people's bodies, and I'm talking about the cadavers in the morgue and the tissues in the patients that I had to examine and identify the problem, you less and less rely on the traditions that have been passed down through the hands of man. And you look at God face to face in the microscope. Now, people may be offended at me saying it that way, but, you know, the truth is the truth is the truth. And I think if it's truth, it's got to be God. If it's something that's damaging, and that's what I saw when people, they eat the animal, that animal is being digested in a gut that's animal tissue itself, and there's always damage done when you eat animal flesh. And when you eat plant food, the digestive program that is used to break down or metabolize plant food is enzymes. And enzymes do not injure your intestinal walls. But the corrosive compounds and the bacteria that come with them, they eat you. And thank God that he was smart enough to build in a system that tries to renew itself. and hopefully you can renew it faster than it's damaged. But in that renewal process, there is a clipping of the telomeres on your cells, so the lifetime of that cell is short, and the corrosive environment sets you up for diverticulitis, intestinal lesions, you know, polyps and all that stuff. And when I examined those cadavers of vegans, there is no damage to their intestine. They die of old age.
Right.
And see, Sally Fallon and I went head-to-head up in Sacramento, or up in, Sacramento, in Cal Expo. And she could not outwit me, because I just come down on her science with what is real. I mean, I hate to be pompous like that, but when you're looking in the microscope and you're in the laboratory, there is no lying to yourself. If you're a stupid pathologist and you ignore what you know, you end up as a dead pathologist. And see, you know, I was telling you that in 1991, I ended up on the steel table myself. Why? Because I ignored what I knew. I would go with my fellow practitioners in medicine, go to our roast, so to speak, where we pat each other on the back and we brag about our research work and our accomplishments. And then we sit down to a bloody steak, which is basically a finer form of a hot dog, and then we'd ask our gut to digest its own self. I mean, that's the insanity. We lie to ourselves in medicine, and I hate to say that, but that is a truth. And we keep the doctors ignorant. Like I was telling you, I'm so happy that I went into that area of medicine where you have to look at the truth eyeball to eyeball, and the microscope does not lie. When you examine these tissues that have been exposed to animal tissue digestion, you can see the corrosive consequence of it, and your poor body has got to go through the repair process. That wastes energy, it wastes life. Now, the reason I have trouble speaking, I don't know if people are aware of this, but after I testified in D.C. and I exposed this poisoning on the trailers, effectively exposing the criminal acts of HUD and all these people, I was assaulted. So I'm 76. And if they'd have had their way, I would have been done and gone. And the only reason that I'm still alive today, and I will tell you this straight out, is because I was giving my body the best advantage to even handle the toxic insult that they administered to me. And if I had not been a vegan, where I did not burden my immune system with nonsense, I would have died. So my own body is my witness to the fact that God, quite frankly, created an herbivore in the human being. And when man wants to go out and shed innocent blood or kill animals, exploit the animals, he has to pay the price. And you made a really good reference there to our length of life. Before man became carnivorous, how long did he live there, Eric?
Well, quite a long time.
700 years or more.
Yeah, right.
But as soon as, see, we're kind of like those Israelites coming out of Egypt. Moses gets them on the other side of the Red Sea. They're out in the desert, and they're, excuse my term, bitching and moaning because there's no flesh for their tables. What are they eating out in that desert? They're eating the manna. You know, the seed that's being blown out across that desert with the wind of God, or the breath of God, metaphorically. And now they're complaining because where is the flesh for our tables that we ate at the flesh pots in Egypt? And so they're begging and ragging on Moses, and what does he do? He goes to God and says, God, am I their nursing father that I must bear them? You know, what do I do? And so then Moses is told by God, call me 70 men, put them over the companies. And then on the morrow, I will give you an answer. I don't know if you remember, it's in Numbers 11 and in Psalms 78. Okay. And on the morrow, Moses brings these men together, puts them in charge of the company, and then on the next day, men gather with him, and the Lord says, I will give the people their desire. And he sends the quail across that desert. And the quail fall, and they become the food of those who lusted, as it says in 78. And what happens to those people who consumed without restraint? Remember the story? They died. Well, as a pathologist, I'm going to tell you what they died of. Are you ready for this? Cholera. Quail is the famous host and vehicle or vector of cholera. When these people spit in the eye of God, he was giving them manna, this beautiful seed that brought all the nutrients required for them, including the vitamin K2, after it's been processed by their liver. All the necessities of the human body are provided from the garden and the marvelous chemistry of your own liver. The liver is the most precious organ in your body. You know that. Yet we violate it every time we put a toxin in there, an industrial food, these poisonous elements that Monsanto and everybody's dumped into the environment because they are the devil's workers, right? Boy, am I going to be in trouble now.
Oh, not at all. Most of us here think the same thing. I'm on Satan toe.
Yeah, and in Europe, it's Sandoz, Satan number two. Did you know that?
Oh, is
that's
it really?
The big overlord of the drug industry in Europe is Sandoz. Anyway, I hate to be so pushy on this, but I get fatigued with this argument out of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, which has been in the hands of so many people along the way. And yet you look at the message of Christ himself. What did he say? Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart. Basically saying the kind people. Do kind people kill without need? And the fact is no. And he said, and we're not to shed innocent blood. Well, what is more innocent than a cow or a chicken or a pig? When was the last time a cow pulled out an AK-47 and wasted you, Eric?
Right. Well, I got to say, I got to concur with you on something. When I ate no meat for a while there, for almost, gosh, it was almost about 2 years, and it wasn't an intentional thing. It was kind of a, you know, I kind of ran out of meat and then just didn't get around to buying any because I didn't feel the need to with the diet I was eating that seemed to be pretty well balanced. You know, it was heavy on, I like the pasta and vegetables thing. It seemed to sit really well. And I ended up being really with rice and beans and other times a little more protein. I can remember, you know, in my life being and as healthy as I ever was, the healthiest I've probably ever been. And for quite a long time, I went with no meat. I kind of got back into it, eating some chicken. And of course, I tried to buy the cleanest chicken I can from a local farmer, where they're not getting the GMO feed and they're not getting the glyphosate sprayed on their grounds where they graze and the food scraps they get from the house are all, you know, organic, you know, mostly homegrown type of stuff. Chicken do real well on that. So, you know, and Tom's comment to me the other day was just make sure you cook the chicken really well.
Pre-made.
And I also noticed when I would incorporate when I wanted to bring a little meat back in, I started putting just a little bit, like maybe 15% of the meal was meat instead of 80% meat and 20% potatoes and veggies on the side. It was mostly, you know, pasta or rice and some vegetables, and then with a little bit of few, just a little bit in there, and it was a perfect amount. I didn't feel I had to have a lot of meat, and I can remember being really healthy, totally satisfied, not feeling like I was dragging or, you know, I was able to, you know, work and everything function with high energy, and do real well off a no-meat diet. So I know it's possible. It can be done. Like I said, I didn't even do it out of design. It just kind of, you know, I kind of started drifting that way and realized, huh, I feel pretty good. I feel good for this day. I'm sleeping well at night. I've got decent energy the next day. I think I was eating eggs during the morning, so I was kind of maybe I was breaking the. But though that wasn't necessarily meat, but I think between the eggs, the rice, the pasta, and the vegetables, it was all relatively inexpensive. You know, buy the whole foods. Pasta's you know, 70, 80 cents a pound, rice, you know, half that. And, you know, veggies, if they're homegrown or if you have some you grew, you stockpile those for the winter and canning and jarring. And I can just testify that I went meatless for a long time. I was very healthy and very satisfied. When I brought the meat back in, it was in small doses. So once again, your system's not entirely digesting itself by trying to digest the meat at the same time. And so I just wanted to kind of concur with that on Tom's day. Although I do, you know, eat meat now and I enjoy it. You know, it's not something I feel I need on a steady basis, and I can easily do without it. You know, providing you have, you know, a reasonably well-rounded, you know, diet to replace, you know, get enough protein is what we're saying. As far as I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, the human body needs about half its weight in protein. So if you're a 180-pound man, you're going to want 80 to 90 grams of protein a day. I've found that most people don't get that much, and even when I got less than that, it was not the end of the world. It wasn't, there was no downside, but I would say 50 to 80 grams a day of protein for a man and 40 to 70 or 80 grams a day for a woman. So just pay attention to what you're eating. Rice, beans, and corn together. Once again, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, you're the scientist. But from my research, the rice, the beans, and the corn, when combined, make a complete protein. Another thing that makes a complete protein I found very interesting, if you go to your grocery store, if it's a decent store and they have a little freezer section where there might be some health food in there, you want to, it's going to be in the freezer now. It's not going to be on the shelf. And it'll be at either the grocery store or the health food store. It's called Ezekiel bread. Ezekiel is in the Bible scripture. And it was made, let me see if I got a, I don't have a loaf on hand right now, but I got an empty wrapper here. Yeah, I do, because I saved the little baggies to reuse. So you can put food in them.
Well,
and
we can't afford
recycle the,
we can't
well, listen to this. So Ezekiel,
Eric,
which one? Take a guess, Tom.
Eric, we can't afford any loafers among the Patriots.
Good. That's funny.
No, Ezekiel bread is a wonderful
well,
bread.
I'm not a loafer tonight, but I'm looking at the empty package here that I saved to reuse, and it says Ezekiel 4:9, and the scripture says, "Take also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and spelt, and put them in one vessel and make bread of it." Okay, now listen, I'll read you the write-up on the package. We discovered when these six grains and legumes are sprouted, and combined, an amazing thing happens. A complete protein is created that closely parallels the protein found in milk and eggs. In fact, the protein quality is so high that it is, this is probably why I didn't need meat at the time for so many years. I was eating a lot of this. I got to get back on my Ezekiel bread. In fact, the protein quality is so high that it is 84.3% as efficient as the highest recognized source of protein containing all the 9 essential amino acids that are necessary to sustain human life. And on that, we'll be right back after this break. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer, with Tom in Utah. Feel free to join us at 800-313-9443, and we will talk to you after this break on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.